And please join with me in prayer as we prepare our hearts for God's Word. Heavenly Father, we thank you again this morning for this time that we can reflect upon your Word and also the example that you set for us during the week of the Passion, during the time of your suffering. And we pray, Lord, that as we consider this, that you would just build within us, Lord, a strong faith in you, stronger than we've ever known, that we would trust fully in you for our salvation. And also build within us, Lord, the same attitude displayed by Jesus, that we might reflect Christ to this world in which you have put us, and that we might faithfully serve you and glorify you. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, even though there are several more we could consider, the last of the attitudes of Christ that we're going to consider this Lenten season is the attitude of submission. Now, because of who he is, this is one of, I think, the last characteristics that we would typically associate with Jesus. It's one of the last characteristics that I think most of us would associate with him. And I say this because Jesus, as we know, is God in the flesh. Jesus, he is the ruler of all creation. And because of this, it makes sense to us that we should submit to him. It makes sense to us that everything in all creation should submit to him. You know, as we heard in the children's sermon today, that if we don't praise him, then the rocks themselves would cry out. That makes sense, considering who Jesus is. But all throughout his life, all throughout his ministry, Jesus demonstrated not only authority because he is God in the flesh, but he also demonstrated the attitude of submission. In fact, this seems so unusual that this is something that has been used by heretical groups over the centuries. It's still used by the Jehovah's Witnesses of today. I've heard this argument used by people of other faiths. I've heard it used by Muslims as well. They tell us that Jesus' submission, that his submissive attitude, reveals to us the fact that he is not God. They don't believe that if Jesus is God, that he would submit to anyone. He wouldn't submit, they think, because God, again, he has authority over everything and everyone else in all creation. However, and I'm not going to get into this in any depth today because it's a sermon in itself, they fail to understand that Christ has two natures. They fail to understand the fact that Jesus is fully God and at the same time he is also fully man. And because of this, we see both of these natures expressed in Christ. We see him demonstrate authority, but we also see him demonstrate submission. Now, one example of Jesus' submissive attitude that we see in Scripture is found in his childhood, and we read about it in Luke chapter 2. And this is something that is familiar to most of you, I think. You may remember how when Jesus was 12 years old, he went along with his family to Jerusalem for the Passover celebration. But when the feast was over, and as his parents headed for home, Jesus remained behind. And he was able to do this, we find out, because his family traveled with a group, and his parents thought that maybe he was walking along with someone else during the journey. But when they discovered that he was missing, they went searching for him, and after 3 days, they found him. They found him sitting in the temple, talking with the teachers and asking them questions. And at the end of this passage, we hear that Jesus went home with his parents and that he was submissive to them. So even though Jesus is God, even though in the grand scheme of things, he had authority over his mother and his father, he submitted to their authority because of the very fact that they were his parents. We see another demonstration of submission when Jesus was asked about taxes. And I guess it's fitting, considering the time of year we're in, not only Lent, but with our taxes due here tomorrow, actually, right, the 18th. But in Matthew 17, Peter was asked if Jesus paid the temple tax. And Jesus addressed this issue by pointing out that because he was the Son of God, technically he is exempt from the tax, but that he would pay it anyways in order to avoid offending people. In another situation, he was asked by some men if it was right to pay taxes to the emperor. Now, they were asking this question in an effort to trap Jesus in his own words, but Jesus replied to them, render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and to God the things that are God's. We see that Jesus was submissive to God the Father throughout his life and throughout his ministry. Over and over, Jesus declares that he does the will of the Father. For example, in John 4:34, he says, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work." In John 6:38, he says, "For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." And in John 7:16, he says, "My teaching is not mine, but his who sent me." So it's clear from statements like this that Jesus did not come into this world simply to do his own thing. He didn't seek to satisfy his own desires. It's clear that the things that he taught, that the words that he spoke, were not his alone. He sought to fulfill the word of God the Father. He taught the words of God the Father. This, he said, is what kept him going. This, he said, is what nourished him. And we see another demonstration of his submissive attitude in our gospel lesson for this morning. And once again, this demonstration, just like the others we have considered, is seen during the events of the Passion. We see that after Jesus celebrated the Passover with his disciples, and after he instituted the Lord's Supper, he went with his disciples to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he asked them to sit there with him while he prayed. Jesus knew what was coming. He knew what would happen to him. Jesus knew that he would be arrested. He knew that he would be abused. He knew that he would be put to death. He had spoken of this to his followers several times before. But he said to Peter, James, and John at this point, "My soul is very sorrowful, even to death." And then we are told he fell on his face and he prayed. And he said, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." So even though Jesus came into this world to redeem us from sin, even though he came into this world to give his life as a ransom for our sin, he didn't look forward to suffering any more than you or I do. As I mentioned earlier, he was fully God, but he was fully man as well. He was determined to redeem us, even if it meant great suffering, but he was not one who wanted to suffer simply for the sake of suffering. I don't think any of us would do that. And this is why he asked God to let this cup pass from him, if it were possible. However, even though he didn't look forward to suffer, again, we find that he was willing to suffer. He was willing to submit himself to the will of the Father, no matter what it meant for him personally, asking not for his will, but for the will of God the Father to be accomplished. And we know, because we can look back at the events in Scripture, that this is exactly what happened. We know that in Jesus, the will of the Father was fully accomplished. We know that Jesus allowed himself to suffer at the hands of men. We know that he allowed himself to be put to death upon the cross. And we know that he allowed this to happen, that we might be redeemed from our sins. Now, just like the other attitudes of Christ that we have considered throughout this Lenten season, we also in Scripture are commanded to demonstrate a submissive spirit. This isn't to be just one of those attitudes of Jesus that we admire about him. This is to be something that we emulate. We, just like Jesus, are to emulate this attitude of submission. And as we look at Scripture, we see that we are to demonstrate this in pretty much every aspect of our lives. We see that we are called to submit first and foremost to God. We see that we are called to submit to the human authorities that God has placed over us. We see that we are even called as believers to submit to one another. Now I'm going to take you through several Scripture passages here just to lay this out for you. So follow along with me. I'm not going to get into any of these in any great depth, but I just want to show you the scope of this attitude that God desires for us to have within us. It shows that he desires for us to demonstrate a submissive spirit in our day-to-day lives. In Hebrews 12, verse 9, we read, "Besides this, we have had earthly fathers who disciplined us, and we respected them. Shall we not much more be subject to the Father of spirits and live?" And in James 4:7, we are told, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." Now, this is one that probably seems rather obvious to all of you, that we are to submit ourselves to God. However, if we really evaluate our lives, if we really look at our hearts, I think we all have to admit that this is something we struggle with more than we would care to admit. We like to do things our own way. We like to live life on our own terms. And it's this desire that causes us to resist the will of God. It's this desire that causes us to rebel against the will of God. In 1 Peter 2, starting in verse 13, we are told, "Be subject for the Lord's sake to every human institution, whether it be to the emperor as supreme, or to governors as sent by him to punish those who do evil and to praise those who do good." And similarly, in Romans 13, 1, Paul writes, "Let every person be subject to the governing authorities, for there is no authority except from God, and those that exist have been instituted by God." So it's very clear to us, according to these passages of Scripture, that God has placed human authority over us. And because of this, because God has placed them there, you and I are called to submit ourselves to them. We are to submit, he says, to every human institution. In 1 Corinthians 16, starting in verse 15, Paul says, "Now I urge you, brothers, you know that the household of Stephanas were the first converts in Achaia, and that they have devoted themselves to the service of the saints. Be subject to such as these, and to every fellow worker and laborer." And in 1 Thessalonians 5, starting in verse 12, he says, "We ask you, brothers, to respect those who labor among you, and who are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace among yourselves." So we are told in these passages and others like it that we are to submit to those who are over us in the Lord. This is speaking of those who are our spiritual leaders and our spiritual teachers. In Ephesians 5, starting in verse 22, Paul writes, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, his body, and is himself its Savior." And also in Colossians 3:18, he says, "Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord." And I realize that these are some of the least liked and most ignored Bible passages in our society today, but Scripture tells us in no uncertain terms that this is the order that God has established for the household. Wives, he says, are to submit to their husbands. And then we also see it go on further within the Christian household. In Ephesians 6:1, we are told, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right." And in Colossians 3:20, we read, "Children, obey your parents in everything, for this pleases the Lord." So it's clear again from these verses that children are to submit to their parents, that kids are called to obey their mother and their father. In 1 Peter 2:18, we read, "Servants, be subject to your masters with all respect, not only to the good and gentle, but also to the unjust." So whether their masters were good or even whether they were abusive, believing slaves, believing servants were called to submit themselves to their masters. And finally, in Ephesians 5, starting in verse 18, Paul says, "And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart, giving thanks always for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ." So again, as I mentioned briefly earlier, as believers, we are called to submit to one another. Now, we heard a couple of times in this series from Philippians 2 that we are to count ourselves, or to count others, rather, as more significant than ourselves. We have heard that we are to look not only to our own interests, but also to the interests of others. And this, I believe, is what Paul means when he says that we are to submit to each other. We are not to seek to be in control. We are not to strive to make all of the decisions. We are to look to the interests and to the concerns of others within the body of Christ. Now, I realize that I just took you through a lot of Scripture. And as I mentioned, I did this for a reason. I did this to show you, first of all, just how established this teaching is within the Word of God, that we are called as believers to demonstrate a submissive spirit, The fact that we are called to demonstrate submission is not simply my opinion. It's not simply the interpretation of man. It is the clear teaching of the Word of God. However, even though this is crystal clear, I think if any one of us were to sit down and list the character traits that we want to express better in our lives, if we were to sit down and list out the character traits in which we would like to grow, we would list things like love and forgiving and kind. We would list things like thankfulness and generosity. I don't think many of us would list submission as something that we want to better express and in which we would like to grow. And it's not a trait we want to pursue because submission, to most of us, seems very, very weak. We want to be in charge. We would much rather be in control. We would rather not have people tell us what to do. We think that exercising authority is what reveals strength. However, looking at the fact that God has called us to display this attitude, I think we would have to say that we display strength by displaying a submissive attitude. And not only is this true, but I think most of us also find it very difficult to submit. And we find it difficult to submit because we all tend to have a certain amount of pride within us. And submitting to somebody else means laying aside our pride. It means laying aside control of our life. And this is something that we just don't want to do. And this is why most of us, we tend to ignore passages like those I just read for you, where a submissive attitude is commanded. We simply do not want to submit to other people. You know, as children, we don't want to submit to our parents. We probably do it out of fear of punishment because we know that they can take away privileges. We know they can ground us. You know, when we're younger, we know that they might spank us. But we want to make our own decisions. We want to do things our own way. And in our own mind, we tend not to always agree with our parents' judgment and with our parents' decisions for our lives. As I mentioned earlier, wives generally don't want to submit to their husbands. After all, women are just as smart as men. Women are just as capable as men. And so it seems very demeaning to many to consider the fact that they should submit to their husbands. And this is especially true when we consider the fact that men are human, right? And because they are human, they have lapses in judgment, they make mistakes. And so again, we think that they should be able to think for themselves. We don't accept slavery in this nation, and for very good reason. However, because of this, we don't understand why slaves in the Bible would be commanded to submit to their masters. In our way of thinking, we would rather encourage them to rebel and to pursue freedom. As employees, we don't even like to submit to our supervisor. You know, we don't like people looking over our shoulder. We don't like people telling us how to do our job. We want to be free to do our work, and we want to be free to do it in our way. As citizens, we don't want to submit to the government. After all, and it doesn't matter which party is in power at the time, we disagree with most of the decisions that are made by those who hold these leadership positions. And because of this, the last thing we want to do is be subject to these people. As believers, we don't want to be subject to those who are over us in the Lord. We don't want anyone telling us what we are to believe and how we are to practice our faith. We think that we are perfectly capable of figuring this out for ourselves. And I think this is especially true in churches and associations like our own. You know, some groups, they have a lot of hierarchy where bodies like ours do not. And we tend to think that Christ is our only authority. We don't like to believe that there are spiritual authorities over us within the church. We don't want to acknowledge that any person is over us in the Lord. Most of us, when it comes right down to it, we don't even want to submit ourselves to God. We know we're supposed to submit to Him, but in reality, it's the last thing that we want to do. We like our way of life. We like the sins that we indulge on a day-to-day basis. And we don't want anyone, not even God, telling us that we should change things, that we should turn away from our sin, and that we should instead live our lives for Him. And this is why we have so many people today who profess faith in Christ, but they continue to live life their own way. Even though they claim to follow Jesus, in their day-to-day life, what they really do is they live to satisfy their every desire. What they believe is that because God loves us, that he'll accept us just the way we are. They don't think they need to repent. They don't think that they need to change anything about their life. However, as we have seen, we are called by God to demonstrate an attitude of submission in our day-to-day lives. And this doesn't mean that we'll always agree with the decisions that are being made by those who are in authority over us. It doesn't mean that we'll always like the direction that they are giving to us. It doesn't mean that they won't ever steer us in the wrong direction. You know, in all likelihood, they will, because, as I mentioned, they are fallen people, just as you and I are. But it does mean that we acknowledge their authority and that we follow the direction that they lay down for us. The only time in Scripture when we see that it's acceptable to go against authority is when they are leading us into sin, when they are leading us in a way that is contradictory to the Word of God. We see an example of this in Acts 4 when Peter and John were arrested and they were commanded to no longer preach in the name of Jesus. Now that's a problem because Jesus himself had told them to proclaim the gospel to the whole creation. Jesus himself had told them to go and make disciples of all nations. And because of this, they knew and they said that they must obey God rather than men. And the same thing is true of us. However, we also must keep in mind that this is the exception rather than the norm. We aren't to go out looking for any and every excuse to avoid submitting to those who are in authority over us. In fact, when it comes to human authority, we are told that it's God who has put those people in their positions. And so by rebelling against the authorities that are over us, we are rebelling against the God who placed those authorities over us. Not to mention the fact that if we do this, if we resist authority, we had better be prepared to face the consequences of it. You know, even if we have good reason to disobey, and even if by our disobedience we are doing the right thing, obeying God, we had better be prepared to face the consequences. We have to be prepared because in many cases, these people who are in authority over us, they also have the authority to punish us. So once again this morning, I have to ask, you know, how are you doing in this area? How are we as a body of believers doing this in this area? Are we truly demonstrating a spirit of submission? Now, as we saw this morning in the Passion, Jesus clearly demonstrated a submissive spirit. He demonstrated it all throughout his life. And you and I are called to do the same. We have been called to submit to those who are over us, knowing that it's God who has placed these people over us. Amen.